tears away. Holy Spirit's been strong this morning. Good morning, everybody. Oh, that's so good. We're going to carry on with that vein. I don't want you to lose what we've just had while we've had worship. I want you to keep thinking about all the situations in your life where you need to speak Jesus over them, where you need to see a change. Do you need to be reminded of something God told you a long time ago? This morning, I want God to reveal it to your hearts again. Okay. So Mark's already said over the last few weeks, he's been talking to us about living in the possibilities of God. But you know, how often do we all just limit what God can do because we try and apply our own human logic and understanding in those situations? You know, we don't always allow God to demonstrate the impossible is possible because you know what? We just give up. We lose faith, don't we? Or we just believe it will never happen because we can't see the solution. So this morning, I'm going to carry on looking at this topic by sharing some real life stories with you where people have seen God move in the impossible. And I'm going to hope that some of you are going to share after I finish speaking as well. Because I know every one of you sat here, I'm not even looking at my words now. Every one of you that's sat here that's been journeying with Jesus for a while has seen God move in a situation that you didn't think was possible. And we need to be reminded of it. We can't forget God is real, he's living every minute of every day. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of that. You know, the Bible is filled with stories of seemingly hopeless situations that serve as backdrops for God to perform the impossible. Some examples here include God raining down the morning manna for the Israelites who had no food in the desert. He kept the oil and flour flowing for the widow's empty jar. He stopped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being burnt alive in the fiery furnace. God caused the sun to stand still so the Israelite army had a few extra hours for fighting time. He caused Mary, a virgin, to become pregnant. And he raised Jesus and many others from the dead. All impossible situations. Moses led 2 million Israelites out of Egypt. And you know, they got as far as the Red Sea. Moses led 2 million Israelites out of Egypt. Now that in itself, is an awesome thing to mobilize 2 million people. I can't even get my head around that. 2 million people. And they got as far as the Red Sea. And they faced a body of water that couldn't be crossed. And they had the rapidly approaching army of the Egyptian soldiers coming up behind them. But Moses calmly reassured the panicking people. Exodus 14, verse 13 to 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will not see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Do we stand still in our impossible situations, or do we try and work it out? Moses raised his staff, he stretched out his hand, and God divided the water so the people could walk across on dry land. And once they were across, God called the waters to resume their original position, swallowing the pursuing enemies. Have you ever felt like the Israelites? No matter which way you look, all you see are circumstances that you just can't get through. Maybe you had a sea of decisions too wide to cross, or a wall of disappointment too high to climb. Maybe you've got a river of broken relationships too rough to mend the bridges, or a valley of financial strain too deep to climb out of. Maybe you're in, right now, a seemingly impossible situation with no apparent solution. Well, don't lose hope. Impossible situations are often exactly the kind of circumstances for God to bring miraculous solutions. Sometimes we just need to stand still, trust in God, believe in the truth, pray his word, and watch for the miracle. I'm going to share a story now. I found this story online, and it spoke to my heart, I think because, well, my sister's in New Zealand, and it's about a lady that emigrated to New Zealand. 4 years she had to wait. 4 years. And I'm going to, it's just an awesome story of standing in what she believed God had placed on her heart. Despite what everybody else was saying, she knew in her heart God had said yes. And she had to wait 4 years. The lady I'm talking about is called Angie. And she fled from Colombia for safety. And she couldn't return. Her life would have been in danger. And she was led to a country that she believed was where God was calling to, New Zealand. And that was in 2016, actually. In 2017, she applied for a permanent residency for her daughter and herself. Now, I don't know if any of you were, but the process can take many, many months, even years. And quite often, it can lead to rejection from the immigration. But just as Angie and her daughter were travelling to Auckland to see their lawyer on the 30th of January in 2018, she heard God say in her heart, yes, you are going to make New Zealand your home. So she was so excited. And she went into that office and sat down in front of the lawyer expecting her application to have been approved. But the answer from the immigration department was no. And she was sure that she'd heard from God, and so she asked the lawyer to make an appeal. And he wasn't willing to do that, but he referred her to another lawyer who agreed to take on her case. They appealed the decision, but a resounding no came back again. But Angie was still sure in her hearts of hearts that she'd truly heard from God. So she asked for a new lawyer to take up her case, and this is what she said. I knew the yes would come. So without being discouraged, we appealed. A second no came. We appealed for a humanitarian visa. A third no. And the lawyer dropped the case because there was nothing else to do. Angie spoke to her friend, Stephanie, a fellow Colombian who attended her church. And Stephanie said, why don't you try a new lawyer? Now, this new lawyer sincerely explained that they had no case for appeal because the previous lawyer admitted to send through some important documents and it could not be appealed to the High Court due to an error on the being on the applicant's side. There was no grounds for appeal. Angie was devastated and she says, my friend Stephanie, my daughter and I all cried in the attorney's office. She said, but I was still praying in my mind and I asked God, Lord, tell me what to do. And he replied, don't give up. Keep going to the end. So I told the lawyer to try an appeal. And the lawyer insisted that the case was lost. But he said, you know what? If you're prepared to pay me, we'll try. And she says, we appealed to the Minister of Immigration. And you know what he ruled? No. I warn you that I am not willing to intervene in this case. And, he added, that Angie and her daughter were not able to apply for any further class or type of visa. He said that they had a week to leave New Zealand. How many times can you be told by authority no and not listen? Did Angie accept that? She didn't. Their situation was so bad that she did not want to be in a position. If you overstay, it makes it really, really difficult for you then to actually try and appeal or make any more applications. So she had a really short window. We had a week to leave the country, a week to sell cars, warn that we were going to breach the lease of the house, buy tickets to Colombia, abandon our cat. She said, that's without counting the sadness of leaving physical and spiritual family behind. I don't know whether I would have gone again in that situation. I think I might have just given up. But not Angie. She was certain that God had spoken to her. She was sure that he would keep his promise. But the question was how and when. And despite the stern warning from immigration, Angie was sure that she'd truly heard from God and that they shouldn't leave. Wow, that's faith in action. She said the lawyer gave us a light of hope. He started the process from scratch again in June 2019 and delegated the case to a colleague. And yet a fifth no came back. But God was with me to encourage me from the Bible. And she quotes this scripture, Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Because the revelation speaks of an appointed time, it speaks of the end, and it will not be false. Even if it takes time, wait for it. It will surely come, and it will not be delayed. So they appealed again. A sixth no came back, but this time only for Angie. Her daughter would finally be allowed to stay in New Zealand. It wasn't what they'd hoped for, and Angie's daughter was upset because she didn't want to stay in New Zealand without her mum. But Angie knew that God would not abandon them with only half an answer, and she prayed and had another message from God, who gave her two more Bible verses. Job 2, verse 10. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And then Joshua 21, verses 3 to 45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had promised to give their ancestors. Not one of the Lord's promises to Israel failed. Angie knew that God was going to make the possible impossible. I've read that the wrong way around, haven't I? Yep. Angie knew that God was going to make the impossible possible. She had received 7 rejections so far. But this third lawyer was different, and she told Angie that she would not give up and that she would try every avenue of possibility. That's just what she needed to hear. And they made an 8th appeal. She'd been told that she could make no more applications after the 4th, but God told her to continue. She included support letters from a number of people, including a pastor from a church. And 5 days before the final letter arrived from the immigration department, God spoke to Angie's heart, encouraging her not to give up. She was at peace inside, and that's key. I think when you're in a battle, in a storm like that, and it's going on and on and on, to keep your peace is so vital. I remember a few years ago, Linda bringing a preach, maybe when I was in COVID, about being in the eye of the storm and finding God's perfect peace in the eye of the storm. She had peace, knowing that God was in control no matter what the answer. And the letter finally arrived, and it was a yes. She got her appeal accepted, and she was given permanent residency. But what a journey. 4 years, 7 rejections, being told to leave within a week. But she didn't give up. She carried on right through to the end till she got her a residency. And God showed her gave her another Bible verse, and it's John 11:40. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Amen. It's difficult to keep believing in the face of the impossible. And I'm sure Angie's faith was stretched to the absolute limit. But God's promises did not fail her. And you know, she's still in New Zealand to this day. And she's working for God. She does children's holiday programs. She's teaching Spanish, hosting a Spanish-speaking FM radio program, and uses her skills as a life coach to help other people to discover hope and a future, just like she's done. What a story. A story of perseveration, of not giving up, and just believing and standing firm on God's promises. Let me give you another scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's one of my go-to verses. I want to share another story now. And this is one where, have you ever prayed for something and not got the answer you want, but maybe God's answered in a different way? This is a story around that. So we're looking at Stacey now. In particular, Stacey's family story, really. Her father-in-law was battling stomach cancer and had been told there were no more options. Nothing had worked. It appeared the cancer had won, at least this time. So they did what any family would do. They arranged hospice arrangements, and they did the best to come to terms with what was happening. And they wanted to take full advantage of whatever time was left. But he was deteriorating rapidly. But they prayed for that miracle. They held on. Just as they were due to go and visit him, their 6-year-old daughter suddenly took ill with a fever. She had a virus, so it meant that they couldn't go and see him. It was the worst possible timing. They couldn't take her to the hospice if she was sick, and she would need to be fever-free for 24 hours before she could visit. But they didn't know how much longer Stacey's father-in-law had. So they decided that her husband would go and be with her dad, and that she would stay at home with the daughters, and that once the daughter was better, they would go and hope and pray that they get to meet them one more time before they had to say goodbye. You know, the disease had taken a toll on her father-in-law's mental abilities, and he was confused and disoriented when her husband got there, And he kept repeatedly asking for his granddaughters, and he just couldn't seem to understand why they wasn't there. It was really hard for all of them. And his condition continued to worsen. And their daughter's illness didn't seem to be going anywhere. And time was not on their side. Can you imagine? You're just like, come on, get better. We just need to go and be with him. But they knew nothing was impossible with God. So they kept praying. And just like that, shortly after, all of her husband's other family had gathered at his father's bedside, their daughter's fever broke. Such a simple thing that might have happened countless times before, yet this was different. God might as well have parted the sea right in front of them. They were beyond thankful. And you know, it was a really difficult visit for all of them, because this could be the last time that they would get to see him. But it was the closure that was so important for them. Not only for them, but for their father-in-law as well. He'd been begging for the presence of his entire family, and they were so pleased at being able to honour that request. The next day, the daughter's fever returned. And the doctors thought, well, she's probably come down with another virus. But you know what Stacey says? She doesn't believe that. You see, her father-in-law passed away before they could get back to visit him again. That one evening was their only opportunity they had to say goodbye. And their daughter's fever disappeared for exactly the amount of time that they needed to make that goodbye happen. God saw their situation and he heard their prayers. And he delivered just the miracle they needed at exactly the moment that mattered most. Stacey goes on to say that they prayed for over 12 months for her father-in-law's healing. But it wasn't to be. But she learned that just because God doesn't work in the way that you hoped or expected, it doesn't mean he's not working. God chose not to heal her father-in-law, at least not this side of heaven. But he clearly orchestrated a different kind of miracle that was still powerfully significant. And if she'd only focused on the unanswered prayer, she would have missed the one that he gave. I can relate, me and Ray can relate to that story. And if I can get through this without crying, that'll be a miracle. But during lockdown, we faced a very real ordeal just like that. Ray's mum was on end-of-life care in the care home. And we were told, because she was in a care home, and you'll know this, that we couldn't visit. And I remember desperately crying and praying to God that we'd get to see him one more time. It was hard, really hard, being told no. But in my moment of desperation, God said yes. He told me, yes, you will get to see Diane. And do you know what? I clung to that promise. And it gave me peace and it gave me strength to wait, because we did have to wait. We had to wait 3 months. But not only did we all get to see her, we all went down and it was brilliant. But on the last 2 days of her life, I was there. Ray was there. His sister was there. Diane's two sisters were there. We spent 2 days with them, despite them saying no. God delivered. Sorry for getting emotional. I didn't intend to, but it's there. We got our miracle, and thank God for that. Now, I could choose to be angry that we lost it to cancer, but I choose to see the blessing God gave us and trust that it was just at a time to go. Waiting for God to answer when you're facing a situation that we can't change is something that we really have to dig deep on. And I know waiting to see Diane took all my faith, trust, and belief. Right, let's lighten it up a bit. I'm going to tell you another little story now. You might have heard this before. When Luke, my youngest, was old enough to go to school, I needed to go back to work. But I wanted a job that would fit in with school hours. And so that could be home at holidays, take them to school, bring them home from school. And I was working, so I got a job as a dinner lady where he was at school, in the playground doing supervision. I was like a round peg in a square hole. It weren't for me. I love kids, don't get me wrong, but it's not where I'm meant to be. But I did it. And at the same time, I was doing voluntary work for Winning Women as the national administrator. And I can remember one afternoon being in my bedroom doing some work on the computer and going, do you know what, God? I would love an administration job working for you. You know, and if it could just be within school hours and just that it'd just be perfect, Lord. And I give that prayer up. And I went downstairs, and I don't know if you remember, Ray, but I went down and he said, you all right? I went, yeah, I've just been praying. And I told him what I was praying for. And you know what he said to me? Good luck with that one. But God's good, isn't he? Because not 12 months after I'd started school, Mark came and said, look, Lisa, we need an administrator for church. 12 hours a week. You can pick your hours. You can have school holiday time. It was just perfect. God remembered my prayer. You know, it seemed an impossible situation, but God moves. Last year, our lovely Ray over there had the most horrendous accident. And I'm sure at the time, he thought he was going to lose his thumb. And I've asked Ray if he'll just come and share how he got through that journey, because we thought he'd never play the guitar again. And yet...
I'm not bothered. So before Christmas, I had some food that gave me an anaphylactic shock, and I was so ill. I couldn't breathe. I just thought I was going to die. I literally run to the sink. I drank 10 pints of tap water, and obviously I phoned the ambulance. My daughter was upstairs, and she tried to calm me down. I have never in my whole entire life struggled and felt like I thought that was the end. I thought I never was going to see my children again. I've got 5 children. Now I've got 4 grandchildren. And I thought, the end's come. And in that moment when I just thought, that's it, it's game over, all I could do was pray to God. And I prayed and I prayed. I can't even tell you what it's like to not be able to breathe. And whatever I'd had, God knows what I had, but he encouraged me, and I drank tap water after tap water and tap water. 10 pints of tap water saved my life. The ambulance came, calmed me down, gave me antihistamines. I had this anaphylactic shock. It took me 7 months to get over what had happened to me mentally and physically. And I can honestly say, the other day I had my first latte. Now I normally, I'm a latte girl. First thing in the morning, I have a latte. 7 months it took. My esophagus, whatever I'd had, my esophagus was burnt, and God healed me back to normal. I had no hospital, no doctors. Don't get me wrong, I was on antibiotics for 4 months, but God is a healer, and it's only through him why I'm still here now, and I thank him every day. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Just want to get up and share. Oh, come on, Mary. I love this. Does us good, doesn't it? To remind us of God's promises.
God is good. I was made redundant 6 months ago, last year, October. So I was out of work for 6 months because my department was sold to a different company. So I have to come home. Just 2-3 weeks ago, I received a call from my same company. And my supervisor asked, Mary, have you got a job? I said, no, not yet. He said, would you like to come back again? I said, yes. So this is my story. So God make impossible possible. Amen.
Come on, Karen.
I just want to share, really, that how God doesn't give up on us, because, you know, I've been up here before and I said about being in churches for a long time. But I really, you know, before I came back to Carmel, I was thinking, oh, God, what can't be bothered with me anymore, you know. It's like, it's not, he's given up on me years ago. But I'll tell you, and what Lisa's been saying really touched my heart, because it is a community, this church is a community, and I thank you, because I felt like I'm in a community, and, you know, if I could just give you all a big hug, then, you know, gather you all together. But, you know, God didn't give up on me, and he is revealing himself more and more to me, and even sometimes I have to take a step back, because I think, oh, did I just do that? Did I, you know, did God just do that for me? And it's just been really, I just want to encourage you that God doesn't, like Lisa says, God doesn't give up on us, you know. And some of my answers have not been the one answers that I've wanted, but they've been better than what I would have had if I'd got what I wanted, if that makes any sense whatsoever. So, yeah, I just thank God, and I thank you a lot, as I always do, because you're my friends and I love you all.
I hope that's encouraged you this morning. It's encouraged me writing it. It's encouraged me listening to Mark over the last couple of weeks. I just think it's really important for all of us, because we will face battles in our lives. We're not going to go through this life plain sailing. There are going to be tough obstacles that we'll have to face. But I think what we need to just really remember is God does move. He makes a difference. We just need to be still, keep our eyes focused on him, keep in the word, and keep praying. Okay, Mark, that's it.